Please protect my words so they're meaningful. So I was enjoying your enthusiasm for kirtan. Prabhupada liked the kirtans. Make him very happy. We were sitting in Mayapur, and there was a kirtan going on, and Prabhupada was sitting on his vyasasan. He was playing his kartels, and he was in some sort of samadhi, some sort of trance. We don't know where. And on one side, Madhavisa Prabhu was dancing. On the other side, Sudama was dancing. Sudama was, before he was a devotee, he was a professional dancer. And Madhavisa, always very enthusiastic. So they were flying off the ground. When they would jump up in kirtan, they get at least this high off the ground. And Prabhupada was in trance, playing kartels in the kirtan, and then he opens his eyes and he looks at the two of them and he has a big smile on his face. So he was appreciating a good kirtan. I was in London with Prabhupada, and I would get depressed, you know, because I'm from a different culture. It's not always easy to adapt so many bad habits. So I was feeling somewhat depressed when a kirtan was going on. We would line up a little bit differently, the women on one side, the men on another side. And this was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I was moping back and forth. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, "Dance, dance!" So I started flying in the air. My foot was in better condition in those days. So there are many nice memories of Prabhupada. Mostly we remember his dedication. That even when there was nothing happening, he was very determined to make it happen. And to adjust things. Like here, we had much trouble establishing this temple. You probably have heard the history from people like Haridas and others. And in the frustration of it all, Prabhupada one day said, "So we'll turn this into a big parking lot and send out Sankirtan vans all over India." So Prabhupada was very practical. He wasn't attached. He was a Sankirtan general. So when Alexander the Great invaded India and invaded Persia, his great quality was that in the midst of a battle, he can adjust things. And that was his great quality. So although Alexander was seen as a thief, they call him Alexander the Great, but he was a thief, basically. And he met his guru, who was Puru, who was defeated by him. And Puru instructed him that an army is for defense, not for offense. Anyway, the idea was that Alexander the Great, he could adjust things on the battlefield, and so it was with Prabhupada, that he was willing to adjust things here. Okay, we won't have a big temple, but we have to get the word out. We have to send the army in a different direction. We have to send out in Sankirtan vans. So he could adjust things that way because he saw the big picture. Some people, they want to build a temple. It's for Pratistha, for my adoration, fame, distinction. But these temples are forts where the Sankirtan soldiers are trained up. So these are not places just to hide. But this is the place where you formulate your strategies and go out and spread Krishna consciousness. So different things that I can remember about Prabhupada is in the early days, I'm maybe repeating from the last time I spoke, but we didn't have much in the early days. We just had that very place temple. It was a very narrow temple. The temple room was probably as wide as between these two pillars, maybe a little bit more between that pillar and this pillar. These were narrow buildings, row houses. They went up 5-6 floors. But each floor was very narrow because they built a lot of houses on one street. So we didn't have very much. Prabhupada lived on the second floor in one room. And so one day I said to Prabhupada, sometimes I would say things, I don't know how I would have the nerve to say it, but maybe Krishna was making me say it so you can hear it. So I said, Prabhupada, these scientists and philosophers, they're so deeply entrenched, how will you ever change them? And Prabhupada said, whether they change, whether they do not change, still I will go on with my propaganda work. So this is Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna didn't look out there and say, well, you know, the Kauravas have more men than we do. He didn't think that way. He fought. Even though they were outnumbered, the Pandavas were outnumbered, the Kauravas had a much bigger army and had some of the best fighters. Bhishma, Drona, Karna. The best fighters were on the side of the Kauravas. But they had Krishna on their side. And that's why they were victorious. So I was also worried that, you know, Prabhupada, you're absorbing my karma. It made me feel bad that he would have to suffer in any way, because he would get sick from time to time. Of course, on his way here, he had a heart attack. And then he would get sick at different times, and we'd all pray for him. And so I would think, you know, anything I thought wrong or did wrong, Prabhupada would absorb the karma. So I brought that up to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, well, Krishna absorbs karma too. So he didn't want his pure devotee to suffer so much. Because we had a lot of karma to bring to the table. We were Westerners. We were addicted to meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex. So these are hard to give up, these habits. You can see people have become very attached to them. Just like in your own country, you have Muslims who are attached to meat-eating. Even though there's so many nice Hindus who are practicing Hinduism, and they're not eating meat. And some of them intelligently understand that this is good for the planet. Still, they get attached. Let's see. So we were in Prabhupada's room in Paris. Also a very small building. And we'd go on walks. And the French people in that area were very proud of their gardens. And somebody remarked to Prabhupada about that. And Prabhupada said, so they can come back as field mice in their gardens if they're too attached. So one has to be very careful about attachment. Our philosophy is really to see that everything... This was Prabhupada's peace formula. Because he came to America, there was a war going on, the Vietnam War. And young people like you, they were going from school to the battlefield. Within 3 to 6 months, they were in Vietnam and the jungles, and people were shooting at them, trying to kill them. One day they're playing ball, and a few months later people are shooting at them. See, in those days they had what they call a draft. So if you were eligible, most young people were eligible, they went right into the army. Now it's volunteer army. So Prabhupada's peace formula in those days was this very simple. Everything belongs to Krishna. And everything should be used in Krishna's service. Of course, karma is going on. Different devotees had different experiences. Some fought in Vietnam. Uttaradha Prabhu, he was an elite fighter. He was a ranger. And the war was very terrible. The war was very terrible. We lost almost 60,000 young people like your age in that war, the cream of our youth. They didn't take me because I had a bad leg, but a lot of people suffered. But Uttaradha went, and his ranger unit, 43% of the men were killed. So it made him a little puggle, and he became an alcoholic. But then he became a devotee. But he was still a bit of a Kshatriya. In Hamburg is a very rough city in the old days. They only had a small storefront. And they had bikers, you know, motorcycle drivers who were gang members. And they thought, oh, you were wearing these little skirts. Oh, you must be little fagolas. That's what they say it in Yiddish. The little homosexuals. Like a hajja. Weak. The Muslims looked at the Vaishnavas in that way too. Oh, these are weak people. Anyway, they attacked the temple in Hamburg. But Uttareda was in that temple. And he came out with a board and started attacking the bikers. And he beat a lot of them up so badly that he had to leave the country. So many different kinds of people came to Krishna. Ex-soldiers. There's one devotee in Vrindavan. You get old, you don't remember names so easily. But he's a very nice devotee. He has these striking blue eyes. He was a big book distributor in Los Angeles for a long time. It'll come back, his name. But he was a medic in Vietnam. And he would be treating people on the battlefield who were dying. And he would see that they're coming to get me. These people who were dying, they would see the Yamadutas. So we had different devotees come during that period. Who's one of the others? Guru Kripa Prabhu. He was in a MASH unit. A MASH unit is a hospital, a portable hospital, very close to where the fighting is going on. So they take them right from the battlefield to that hospital. So he saw a lot of terrible things. People, the jungle is one of the worst places to fight from. It's easy to fight in the desert. Everything is exposed. But in the jungle, it's very dangerous. So the Vietnamese, they had much battle experience fighting the Japanese and then fighting the French. So they knew jungle warfare. So they would take sharpened sticks and bury it in the ground, and they'd take stool and put it on it. So when the soldier's walking, he would step on it. So it was horrible battle going on there. So that devotee, he would see, help people on the battlefield, and he would see that the Yamadutas were coming for some of them. Anyway, going back to Prabhupada, trying to remember Prabhupada. So we had a lot of wonderful people come to serve Prabhupada. The young, beautiful girls, they're in the prime of their life. They could be used their sensuality, their sexuality to find a nice, rich husband. But they came to serve Krishna. They gave their youth and beauty to Krishna. As you are young men giving your youth and vigor to Krishna. So this was all due to the purity of Prabhupada, that he was giving us the truth. The whole system is set up by Maya to make you think you are this body. And even as devotees, it's difficult to overcome this thing. And the hypnotic effect is so strong that we don't even think about not being this body. But Prabhupada came and he told us the truth. Aham Brahmasmi, we're spirit. We don't have a soul, we are a soul. And we are living in this material world and nobody is happy, no matter how much they have. We have rich people like Mr. Hinduja coming to the temple. The Ambanis, they're giving money to places like Srinath Temple. Nobody is happy in this world. But Prabhupada gave us a God, a beautiful God. Krishna, he's so fun. He's so beautiful. He's so playful and he's so kind in all his forms. In Vishnu, he is like the great benefic father. As Krishna, he is a playmate, a lover. All these different forms he takes on for the pleasure of his devotees. So you're very fortunate to know these things, that God is not someone to be afraid of, but God is someone who really knows how to have fun. And the soul wants to have fun. They have a song in the West One lady singer sings it, girls just want to have fun. Well, souls just want to have fun. So you're having fun, you're chanting and you're dancing, you're playing beautiful music. But what is the music? The music is to glorify God. Prabhupada enjoyed the chanting also. This was not forced upon him. We were in Paris, in Munibunda Prabhu had a your reel-to-reel tape recorder. That was state-of-the-art in those days. Now I think it's Nakamichi. And he heard Prabhupada singing in his room. So he asked Prabhupada later on, can I record you? Prabhupada agreed. So we all went into Prabhupada's room. And we were sitting there while Prabhupada recorded. He was playing harmonium. And there were two people who were the last ones out of the room. Myself and a devotee named Yogeshwara. Me taking pictures, as many as I could. And Yogeshwara. And Yogeshwara said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you sing so beautifully. And Prabhupada said, oh, I do not sing beautifully. It's because you love me. You are thinking I'm singing beautifully. But he was singing beautifully. You can still hear, right? He had that deep melodic voice and, of course, the deep bhakti. There's no substitute for bhakti. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was leaving his body, one disciple who had a very beautiful voice was singing. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta wanted another devotee to sing who didn't have a very good voice. But he respected him as being such a very high and special devotee that he had him sing the kirtan, even though it wasn't as melodic. So we are interested in bhakti. Krishna is interested in bhakti. Prabhupada is interested in bhakti. We are interested in bhakti. We are the same as Krishna. We don't want to be respected for how much power we have. Or a beautiful woman doesn't want to be respected just for her physical beauty. Don't want to be dazzled by these things. We are dazzled by them. But we all want someone to say, oh, I watched you one day and you said a beautiful thing to someone. Or you did a beautiful thing. I saw you from afar. That's very satisfying when someone sees our inner heart. And that's what Krishna is watching all the time. We don't always see that because in the material world, it's all about me. The mantra of the material world is, I. Me. I. Me. So this is the world of the self-centered. And in the spiritual world, it's Krishna-centered. Why do we center our consciousness around Krishna? Because Krishna is fun. He's interesting. See, the problem with some to say, oh, I'm God. But if you're God, there's no surprises. Everyone wants surprises, right? You had birthday parties, right? But which were the best birthday parties? When they were surprise party, right? You didn't know about it. You're tired. You're coming home. Surprise! Hare Krishna! So, this is one of the beautiful things about Krishna. Is he is a great dramatist. And he enjoys making his devotees happy. Just like in a good marriage, the husband tries to make his wife happy. The wife tries to make the husband happy. The husband is not Krishna. The wife is not Radha. But you become friends. And you encourage each other in spiritual life. So you try to make your friend happy. You don't try to make your friend Radha. She doesn't try to make you Krishna. But you try to make each other happy in little ways. Encourage each other. And encourage each other in your spiritual life. So that in the end, you will not cheat your wife. And your wife will not cheat you out of not having to take another birth in the material world. That's real love. That this person is given so much. This man has worked so hard in the world to make money, sometimes unpleasant jobs, to take care of the family. And the woman, she's taking care of the house. She's taking care of the children. She's cooking nicely. Managing inside. He's managing outside. And so these people express their love to each other. So what's the best kind of love to express back? that you served me so nicely, I don't want you to take another birth in the material world. So we encourage each other in Krishna consciousness and household life. Brahmachari life is different. Brahmachari life, there is less distractions. You can focus on Krishna more. This is Kali Yuga. So many times people have to take jobs that they don't enjoy at all. And they do it to keep the family together as a matter of duty. But as Brahmachari, you can give all your time to Krishna consciousness. Welcome back, as if you ever left. So, Prabhupada put a lot of energy into translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I had the first Bhagavatams I read were the ones Prabhupada brought from America, from India. There was spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, but they were so beautiful that I thought whoever has written these purports, God could not overlook him. That he was so pure. And the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, he didn't want people just distributing them. He wanted his devotees reading them. So I was just finishing reading the Bhagavatam for the second time. It took me 40 years. Long time. So, but you always discover new things. Like I discovered, I had read the 11th and 12th canto after Prabhupada's passing, before it was published by ISKCON. I got copies from Benares Hindu University. They're printing the different Puranas. But I didn't remember much from them. So I'm rereading the ones that the Hirdananda translated in Gopi Puranadan. And it's a beautiful verse in there where Krishna's describing deity worship. And part of the ritual he describes is that before you do the worship, you're inviting Krishna to come out of your heart and enter into the murti. I never remembered that before. So there's always a new discovery. So for us to go deeper into Krishna consciousness. Even the Christians say like that about their Bible. If they're sincere, they will find some shloka that inspires them. It's just what they need, because that's where their faith is. But I'm trying to some of the other things that Prabhupada said. He said, when I asked him if he was present in his pictures, he said, if you think of me, then I am there. So I asked him, sometimes I have a question that's too detailed for the Shastra. What should I do? He said, if you chant Hare Krishna very nicely, he said, all the answers will come from within. I also said, sometimes I fight with my God brothers. Is that bad? He said, no, not necessarily. So Prabhupada said, also told my God brother, Jayatirtha, he said, if somebody's doing wrong and you don't say anything, you share in the karma. But it's not like we should make politics against somebody. If someone is a leader and they're making some mistake, we go up to them privately and say, Prabhu, I'm worried, you know. I feel I have to say this to you. There's no political consideration. I have to face Prabhupada at the end of this life and Krishna. So I feel my conscience says I have to say this. And I'm saying this. And now you may do as you wish. Just like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, I've instructed you. Now you may do as you wish. So you can do it like that. Not to make big politics. Prabhupada also said, we don't like to replace leaders. We like to reform them. So people make mistakes, especially in our time. We had no uncles to guide us. Now you have elder gentlemen like this who live their lives out in the world, who had families, who have experience, who came from devotee families. And they can give good advice, even to brahmacharis. So we didn't have that. All we had was Prabhupada and the books. And all the books weren't there either. Only some of the books were there. So we had problems. We had problems with management. Young boys managing, not knowing how to treat other devotees. Prabhupada said you cannot manage like it's a commercial firm. you have to manage devotees differently. He said he was on a walk and he was angry with some of the managers in Mayapur. And he said, I come to encourage and you come to discourage. So Prabhupada's godbrother once said to me, said that the struggle to become a devotee is so great. You're coming out of the material ocean. And you're just coming on the shore of Krishna consciousness, just like you were in the ocean. We were very close to the ocean here. And you're shipwrecked. Like in The Life of Pi, you saw that movie, some of you? Probably not. He saw it. Okay. So he's shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean with a tiger. So we have our own tigers. All right, Maya is our tiger. So he's suffering so much, just barely makes it to the shore in the end of the movie. He comes up on shore, he has barely enough strength. He thinks he may drown in two feet of water. He's so weak from being in the Pacific. Because his shipwreck got wrecked in Manila, and for months he was in the lifeboat and he ends up in Mexico. That's a long time. So the idea was that his godbrother said, so someone is suffering in the material ocean for so long and he comes up on the shore of Krishna consciousness. One has to be careful not to push him back in. So we have to be very careful how we treat devotees. Vaishnavapara is much more serious than the four regulative principles. These things are very powerful, these impulses of the body. And sometimes someone succumbs. Sex desire is very strong. Prabhupada said if it wasn't so strong, people would think, oh, do I want to have children and have to worry about all these other bodies for the rest of my life? So the sex desire is built in to be very strong. So all these energies are there. And we have to, if we can't, we have to be very careful and put things in proper perspective. To discourage devotees to commit Vaishnavaparad is a very serious offense. There's a story of one devotee, one of the Goswamis, and he was very advanced, and he can see Krishna Lila in his own heart. So he would chant, and he would go into samadhi, and he would see the Lilas in his heart. So he saw Krishna do something funny in his samadhi. So he started laughing out loud, even though he was in samadhi. At that time, there was another devotee. He had a body worse than mine. He was very crippled and twisted. But he was a great devotee. So when that devotee was passing, that devotee who was seeing the Leelas started laughing. So that devotee thought, oh, he's laughing at me because I have an ugly body. So he became very upset and he walked away. And right after that, that devotee who can see Krishna Lila in his own heart, it stopped. It went blank. He couldn't see Krishna anymore in his own heart. He couldn't see Vrindavan Lila in his own heart. And it shocked him. What's going on? And he went to, I think it was Rupa and Sanatan this happened to. He went to his brother and he said, I lost the ability to see Krishna Lila in my own heart. What happened? And his brother said, well, you must have offended some devotee. So he said, well, what should I do? I don't remember offending any devotee. So his brother was very smart. So he said, well, have a feast for the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. And the one that doesn't show up, that's the one you've offended. So have a big feast, and that crippled devotee, he didn't show up. So then they knew, oh, that's the one I have offended. So he went to him and he explained. He said, why, how have I offended you? He said, well, you laughed at me being in this twisted body. And he said, no, 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 at that time I was seeing Krishna do something in Krishna Lila, and it made me laugh. Then they became friends. And then he could see Krishna Lila in his own heart. So this is how powerful Vaishnavaparada is. You're talking about the Goswamis who are intimate associates of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And they lost the ability to see Krishna in their own heart. What to speak of us? We're little bhaktas. We're just getting started. So we have to be careful of the Vaishnava aparadhas. And sometimes sannyasis would fall and get married. And they would feel too ashamed to come to Prabhupada. But sometimes they would come and Prabhupada would reassure them, okay, you go on with your household life. Shastras can say one thing. This is, Guru is very helpful in this, that you have to know application. And Guru is very good for application. Just like there was one devotee whose wife ran off with another man, another devotee. So that devotee went to Prabhupada. He says, in the scriptures it said you can kill somebody if they steal your wife. So Prabhupada knew this is not a good thing to happen in America. He'll end up in jail or they'll take his life. So Prabhupada said, no. He said, just go beat him up. So the guru adjusts things. Because obviously if you're in grihastha life, you want your husband to love you and you want your wife to love you. So she did not love this man. Sometimes in the early days, arranged marriages were there. But arranged marriage is not like in India. We didn't have astrology, things like that. So mismatches. So they would break up. We had a lot of Western marriages didn't work out. It's a different culture. But everyone is entitled to love Krishna. Whether you're a sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, everyone is allowed to love Krishna. So, and that's all Krishna is interested in anyway. He's in your hearts, every living entity's hearts. Ladies too, children, cockroaches. He's there. And of course, in the murti. And all he's interested in is love. So when they asked Prabhupada what will please you the most, he said, simply, you love Krishna. So you can all repeat that. What will please Prabhupada the most? Say? Yes, that is our Siddhanta. So every philosophy has a Siddhanta. That was Bhakti Siddhanta. The Siddhanta of this culture is Bhakti, is devotion. Bhakti Vedanta, that Prabhupada's name. The goal of Vedanta is bhakti. So when you talk to people who are of different philosophies, they say, well, first find out what is their Siddhanta. Like a Buddhist, they have many qualities, good qualities. Then they've taken from, Buddha has taken many of these things from the Vedic culture. But they don't have a concept of God. So this is their weak point. They want shanti. But the intrinsic nature of spirit is to love and express love. And Prabhupada's god brother once told me about Buddhism. He said, we do not want to become like a stone. We want to express love. So even the brahmachari, he's not having a marriage relationship, but he's expressing love to humanity. He's trying to uplift humanity. He's dedicated his life to raising the consciousness of humanity. He's giving his love to Krishna. He's giving his love to the deities. He's giving his love to his fellow man. So we need to express love. We don't want to become like a stone. So we should always understand the Siddhanta. Even in bhakti religions like Christianity, there are threads of Christianity where they are salvationists. They are more interested in salvation. Oh, we want to go to God's kingdom. That's all right. But first comes first. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada, this was one of the early books that Prabhupada published. It said that liberation, mukti, is the maidservant of bhakti. So if you have bhakti, then liberation will come. Just like if you become the friend of a rich man, then he says, come to my house. You can stay. Oh, you have some problem? your house burnt down, come and stay for until you can organize your life. Whatever, you're a friend. But if you want to enter into this rich man's house just because you want to enjoy the rich man's house, not so easy. So the same with Krishna. Krishna does not want to be an object. Oh, I can enjoy Krishna's kingdom. No. I want to enjoy Krishna's company. So then when Krishna feels you are his friend, you care about him, then he says, come. So it's not so different from us as individuals. We want to be appreciated for what's in our heart. So other things, Prabhupada with his managers, he considered them managers. They were just students. And sometimes in Paris, we had that small house there, and a few managers were there. And Prabhupada sat us down. He made me put my camera down, too. And he said, if you don't follow the teachings, then all you have is the trouble you went to get to knowledge. So he emphasized you have to apply the knowledge. Of course, then he lifted his sleeve and his sleeve dropped down and he had three watches on. One, two, three. So people would give him watches and he would accept. But he wouldn't give up the old watch until he made sure the new watch worked. He didn't care. Guru Kripa gave him a Rolex watch. And then someone gave him another watch. So he took the Rolex and gave it to someone else. I think Guru Kripa was trying to find that devotee to get the Rolex back. Guru Kripa is a very great devotee. He did a lot of austerities and organized a team of Sankirtan devotees to preach in Japan in a very thankless place because the Japanese in those days were working very hard, not very spiritually inclined. But in some ways they had some good habits. They would give charity. So it was a big place for collecting money, and that's where a lot of the money for the construction of the Vrindavan temple goes. So if you ever see Guru Kripa anywhere, you should give him nice respect. Yasodananda, any of those devotees who were in that Sankirtan party, they put in a lot of tapasya. They were wild boys. It was not easy to do what they were doing. Here you have a nice temple, a nice prasadam, and there it was up in the morning, small program, and then out in the streets all day long. And so anyway, these are the great souls that came to serve Prabhupada as well. So Prabhupada means Prabhupada and his disciples. Not meaning me, but meaning a lot of people, they did not have a lot of knowledge, they didn't have a lot of sattvic background, but they came to serve. And they came to serve when the need was greatest. Prabhupada didn't have any material facility. And they came to serve when there was no material facility. It was just the idea of Krishna. So this way their service was great service. They didn't have big temples like this. They didn't have a culture where rich men come and they give nice donations. We were trying to get money on the streets from a culture that knew nothing about Krishna. So these were great souls. So when you meet devotees around my age, in their 50s, who are Prabhupada disciples, be respectful, even though we may not be perfect in many ways. We may have rajasic habits, even maybe some tamasic habits. But you'd be respectful because of the great service they did. And they made it easier for you to have more sattvic life, that you have a nice temple to live in now. So we have to be very careful of spiritual pride. That's another danger. That, oh, I'm following very strictly. But if you start to make Vaishnava aparad, that story, become a mouse, you all know that story, right? About the yogi. No, you don't know that story? That there was a mouse, and he was afraid of the cat. So he went to the yogi. He said, I know you have great powers. Can you protect me from the cat? He said, oh, okay, so I'll make you a dog. Whoosh. So now he's not afraid of the cat anymore. But this is all in the jungle. So now a tiger, he's afraid of a tiger. So he comes back to the yogi. He says, well, now I'm afraid of the tiger. He's going to eat me. So can you help me? So he says, okay, I'll make you a tiger. So now he's a tiger, but he's looking at the yogi and going... And the yogi says, become a mouse. And he's a mouse again. So you have a privileged position to be in the temple, privileged position to wear a saffron, to be renounced. But if you develop pride and commit Vaishnava aparads, be a mouse. Krishna can take it away from you. Just like we had many leaders who fell down from their position. And they suffered greatly, great embarrassment, great shame. One day they're like kings, and next day they're nothing. So this is all due to Vaishnava aparad, so one has to be very careful. So sincerity is the unstoppable force in spiritual life. So how does sincerity manifest? Thank you, G. And little things like that. Krishna's watching. Maybe you see some poor person and you have some prasadam and you give them some prasadam. Little things, when you're not even thinking about it. You're coming from the heart. The heart is the Brijbasi spirit. And there was some story like that about in times of Bhaktisiddhanta, that there was poor people who wanted charity and they were on pilgrimage. And the householder said, oh, that's all karmakanda to give like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta got upset with them. So Krishna is watching. Sure, these people have their karma that they're living in the street, but they're our brothers and sisters. So we can give something. Krishna is watching. You get them to chant Hare Krishna. So powerful is Hare Krishna. Krishna, I'm reading in the Bhagavatam, he's saying, they're so materially attached, he's talking about people in general, that even at the time of death, I give them nam. All they have to do is chant my name and they can go to Vaikuntha and still they're attached and they won't chant. They're still so attached. So we can give nam. It is a kind of initiation, just giving somebody nam. And so powerful. But what happens is the material energy is so powerful that it makes everyone forget Krishna. So even in these crisis times, when you're just about to die, you don't remember Krishna. Most people won't remember Krishna. So cover your ears. Okay, so when these airplanes go down, you're hearing the jets coming from the airport. In the early days, we had a very nice devotee who was a pilot for Indian Airlines. He used to come, and I heard eventually he died in a plane crash. Anyway, they have these black boxes on the airplanes, flight recorders they're called. So they record the engines, the instruments, what's happening in the plane, and they also record the voice of the pilot and co-pilot and engineer. So when these planes go down, they found most of the time when the planes crash, the last thing the pilot says, cover your ears, oh shit. You know what shit is, right? That's what comes out of here, poop. I don't forget the Hindi name for it. That's the last thing they say. And in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, if they would just say my name, I would give them Vaikuntha. And he's so pained by the idea that these souls, his children, his beloveds, they are so much in Maya, they can't even remember to say his name. They are so distant themselves from him. So, is there any parent that wants to be ignored by their child? What could be more painful? Even if the child is a naughty child, arguing with a parent, it's better than being ignored, that the child goes away and you never see them again. What could be more painful, right? So we do that to Krishna. Oh, you live in the temple somewhere and when I need something or I'm in trouble, I'll come and pray to you. Well, it's something. But a lot of people don't even think about God. I, me, 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 me. I, me, 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 me. That's the material energy. It's all about me. Anyway, Prabhupada could be very kind and very thoughtful. In my case, this will probably cut my prestige in your eyes a little bit, but this is information that may help you because it helped me. So, there was a lady who came to the temple in New York, and she was a writer, and she had a nice camera, Nikon camera, and she was going to do a story on the devotees and try to get it published in a magazine. And she used to go out with the devotees on Sankirtan, and she actually liked the kirtan, like you guys are enjoying the kirtan, right? No one is twisting your arm. Oh, yes, I have to chant. You're enjoying. So she was enjoying, but she had material attachments. She was not ready to move into a temple. Anyway, when she wrote her story, she said she had met one devotee who cared more about her camera than her. So I was accused of being that devotee. But there were other photographers. See, we were very poor in those days. We got donations of cameras. And that Nikon she had was top of the line. Like BMW, Mercedes, Ferrari. Leica's more Ferrari. Anyway, it was like a BMW in cars. So somebody lusted. I thought maybe it was me. Because Jayadwaita came up to me one day and he read me that and he assumed it was me. But I didn't think it was me. I didn't remember that. But he assumed it was me. All right. So I felt guilty. I come from a Jewish background. We feel guilty a lot. Anyway, so I was in the car with Prabhupada, and we were in England. Sometimes I would ride with him and out to the park. He would go out to Hyde Park or King's Park. What was it? King's James Park. And one of them was right near where Queen Elizabeth lives, and we'd go for walks there. They had beautiful parks in London. Of course, it was paid for with Indian money. They stole so much from India. $10 trillion they stole from you that they know of. Anyway, but the parks were beautiful. It had ducks and swans in the ponds, and everything was nicely taken care of. They didn't have such a big population like India has. And they were good managers, the British. That's how they were able to take all that money out of India. But they managed India well in some ways to their self-interest, like they built the railroads. Anyway, we were on that walk with Prabhupada. Oh, and I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. But anyway, we were on walks with Prabhupada, and he would be thoughtful. Instead of saying Hare Krishna to his people, he would say, good morning. Because he knew these people were from another culture. They wouldn't know what Hare Krishna meant. So he didn't want to frighten them or disturb them. Good morning. So this way they're thinking, oh, he's a nice Indian gentleman. So he was very thoughtful in those ways. And, oh yeah, so back to my story. See, when you get old, the memory starts to go. Usually with names. Hard to remember names. So the blood vessels, they get clogged in the brain. So you start to forget. And so I'm in the car with Prabhupada. So I said to Prabhupada, because I felt guilty, you know, that maybe she went away because I was too lusty over that camera. So I said, Prabhupada, sometimes I preach nicely and sometimes I don't. If the person is sincere, will they still come to Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. And he gave the example of the water in the pond. That sometimes the pond gets agitated. Wind or somebody throws a rock in. And then the mud comes up from the bottom of the pond. And the clear water becomes clouded, becomes muddy. So it's not clear anymore. So the idea is that when the senses become agitated, the intelligence becomes clouded. The mind becomes attached and the intelligence becomes clouded and you forget Krishna. So that's the example that's given. So I thought, okay, this is a good example. But he continued speaking anyway. And he said, so sometimes someone is able to follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service. So by the mercy of Krishna, he may become perfect. Then he said, sometimes someone is not able to follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service, but he has an overwhelming desire to perform some great service for Krishna. So by the mercy of Krishna, he may also become perfect. So both achievements are by the mercy of Krishna. Even if you're practicing sadhana bhakti, it is the scent of grace that Krishna frees you. It's not a mechanical thing. I chant mechanically and all of a sudden the shackle breaks by my own power. No, it's the scent of grace. And he gave the example for... he said when one is following, that's sadhana siddhi. And he said when one wants to do some great service for Krishna, but he can't follow all the rules and regulations, he said that's kripa siddhi. And he gave the example, a material example, of Clive of India. So I don't know if you know your Indian history that well, but Clive came with the British East India Company. And he came as a ship's cabin boy. It's a very low position, servant position, as a young boy. But he stayed with the company. The British didn't come here at first as a company, as a country. They came as a trading company, a corporation, British East India Company. So he became influential in business dealings. And Prabhupada said he was able, due to his political dealings and diplomatic dealings, to bring big parts of India into the British control. He was a very good fighter and diplomat. And sometimes people are drawn into things and they don't even realize this is going to be my destiny. So I was in Fort St. George in Chennai. They've turned it into a museum now. And they had some of the original letters from Clive. He wrote to the company in England because the Maharaj of Mysore, he had been pushed out by his general, a Muslim general. So he was trying to entice the British East India Company to give some of their soldiers. They had soldiers to protect. Because I think it was Tipu Sultan. Who came first? Tipu Sultan or... who was the one who was killed by the British? Was that Tipu Sultan? Or his father? I forget. Anyway, so they had their own soldiers. So he wrote to England, maybe this is a good business deal. We can rent out our soldiers to the Maharaj and he can get his kingdom back and we'll get something in return. So when the Maharaj got his kingdom back, he gave land grants. And that was the beginning of the British taking over India. In land grants, rather than give cash, he would give all the tax money from these lands the British could take. Anyway, so Prabhupada told that story. So I thought, why is he telling me this story? I'm a brahmachari, I'm following strictly. So what do I need to hear about Kripa Siddhi? But later on, I was not able to follow. I'm sorry, I'm not a pure devotee, but I tell you what I can. And that's why I decided later on I could make educational materials, Krishna conscious educational materials. I was not going to become a sannyasi or a pure devotee unless Krishna did something. He can make anything happen, but unless he did it, that wasn't going to happen. So I decided, let me make a film on the Vaishnav culture, which Prabhupada wanted. So I did that. And Prabhupada encouraged me. He can see into the future and see that I could not follow strictly. So he gave me encouragement. I'm very sensitive to politics. So in my time, the politics were very heavy. Now it's calmed down quite a bit. So it was very painful also losing Prabhupada. I was very close to him. I would travel with him in Europe, in America, in Africa, in India. So it was very painful in my heart that when Prabhupada passed. So when the Guru dies, leaves his body, it's very, very painful. If you go to Mayapur, you'll see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's samadhi. And there's a little samadhi next to his samadhi. That's the samadhi of his servant. So 1 year after Bhaktivinoda left his body, his servant couldn't stand the separation and he killed himself. So that little samadhi is for his servant. So it's very painful to lose one's guru, and it makes you somewhat puggle. So many things happened and I could not follow strictly. I don't know, maybe it was Krishna's plan that he took me into places where people who wear saffron would dare not go. So, I don't know. But I always was very fond of this story from the Balaji tradition. That there was a prince who came to give Balaji a beautiful gold necklace of lotus flowers made out of gold. When they put it on the deity that night, the next day they would find the chain was broken and there were all these mud flowers all over the altar, all over. And his golden flowers were scattered, but the mud flowers were on the altar. And this happened 2 days in a row, so the prince was very upset. And somehow it was revealed to him, Krishna said, I think through the priest, said, I like your golden lotuses, but I like the mud flowers of our potter better. And then he disappeared. So the prince was wondering, who is this potter? You know, someone who makes clay pots. Who is this potter? And he sent out men to search out. And he found this one potter. And they would watch, and he told the king about it, the prince about it, and he came and saw for himself. That every day, before the potter would start work, he would take some of his clay and he would make a little murti of Balaji and he would put it aside. Then all day he's making pots on a wheel. At the end of the day, he would scrape the clay from his hands and he would make little lotus flowers, little padmas. And he would offer to the clay murti. And this he did every day. So when the prince saw that, then he understood, oh, I'm coming with a nice golden offering, a big grand gesture. But this devotee, he is making these mud flowers every day. He's offering to me without fail. So now I understand why the Lord preferred his mud flowers to my gold flowers. So at that time it said that he saw a plane come from Vaikuntha. And the potter and his wife were given spiritual bodies, forearm bodies, and they were taken on the plane. And Vishnu was there. And Vishnu said to the prince, he said, you're very proud of being of a royal family. So humble yourself, bathe in the sacred pool. I think it was called Chandragiri. At Chandragiri. I don't know why it was sacred, but he told him to do that and to humble himself. And the prince understood. And at the end of that life, the prince also went back to Vaikuntha. So I always like that story of the potter, that every day he's doing his steady service. So Krishna is accepting the grand gesture. Someone may come and give a lot of money in one time, but he's appreciating someone who's every day there, serving the deities, going on Sankirtan, that he's there every day. But he accepts, he's magnanimous, so he accepts from so many sources, so many different devotees. Just like you may have children, and one children is very close to you. He knows you so well, he knows what you're thinking. Before you ask for it, you know what he wants. That's closeness, that's Radha. To Krishna, she can anticipate what Krishna wants before he even wants it. That's deep, deep, deep love. So But you may have children, and one child is more thoughtful, thinking about you more. One child is a bit of a rascal, and he's doing all sorts of naughty things. But you don't stop loving the rascal child either. And in some ways you think about him more because he needs your help more. So in this way, Krishna accepts service from everyone. A leaf, a flower, some food, or some water. He is waiting for us to approach him. He loves us. His love is a given. It's already there. Krishna's love for us is already there. The problem is our love for Krishna. So we have to. So the shastras Prabhupada gave, the Bhagavatam, is such an important shastra because it gives the pastimes of Krishna. So how can you love someone you don't know? In the Bhagavatam, you can know Krishna, and you can know Krishna is fun and kind. And Krishna wants just us that we're acceptable to live with the Brijvasis or the Vaikunthavasis, that we give up anger and jealousy, these lower qualities. What do we have to be jealous of? Rich men suffer. Beautiful women suffer. One of my god sisters was so beautiful, daughter of a Finnish movie star. She died at age 42 from cancer. So we should never be envious of anyone. We don't know what their destiny is going to be in the future. Just like there was this one king in the Bhagavatam. He fought for the Devas. And they offered him a boon. He said, I want to know when I'm going to die. They said, well, you check the records, you're going to die in the next minute. They didn't expect that. So we don't know when we're going to die. So it's imperative that we develop our love for Krishna. We carry on a relationship. My Jewish grandmother, she used to talk to God all the time. He's a good listener, especially for the ladies. The ladies like to talk, right? This is the way they solve their problems. They don't even need an answer. They just need to let out the energy. And the man is thinking, tell me what to do, I'll fix it. The ladies say, no, I just have to talk about it. So, and the man gets tired of listening to that kind of talk, but Krishna never gets tired of listening. Oh, okay, I'll listen. You're my devotee, I love you. You're my daughter. Oh, yeah, okay, all right, I'm listening. So, and the man, he's struggling so hard, he's thinking sometimes the family doesn't appreciate me. He can go and talk to Krishna. But the wife is sometimes talking so much that he doesn't get a chance to talk. So he can come and talk to Krishna here. Krishna will listen. Oh, Krishna, I have to work so hard. Krishna, I worked today and my boss insulted me. What can I do? I have to stay at this job. He doesn't respect the hard work that I do. He takes out his frustration because he maybe has a wife that drives him crazy. So he comes to the office and he drives me crazy. They call it a pecking order. So the husband gets angry at the wife. The wife gets angry at the son. The son gets angry at the dog. The dog gets angry at the cat. And how's it go? The wife gets angry at the child. And the child pulls the cat's tail or the dog's tail. So there's a pecking order. So we should never be envious of anyone because everyone's suffering, even though they don't look like it. Their suffering may be coming in the future. So we don't want to be envious, and what's their happiness? No one is happy. The wife is thinking, I wish my husband was more like Krishna. And the husband is thinking, I wish my wife was more like Radha. So nobody's perfectly happy. So this is why we aspire to be with Krishna. This is what Prabhupada taught us. He gave all this information about how fun Krishna is. So we have to develop the Brijvasi spirit. So in the Sri Sampradaya, there were three alwars. You know the alwars in Sri Sampradaya? They are devotees. The alwar means one who dives deep into the ocean of divine love. So these were great devotees. The most devotees are most familiar with are King Kulashekar, Jamunacharya. So there were three Alwars that didn't know each other at the time. And they were in the same area. And it was during the rainy season. And one Alwar found a shelter that where he could lie down, he would be protected from the rain. So a short time later, another Alwar, he doesn't know these are saintly people, but the other Alwar is getting wet in the rain. He says, well, you know, come in. He says, there's room if two of us sit, then you could stay dry. So we'll sit all night and you won't get wet. Then a third one shows up. And they say, well, you know, if we all stand up, there's just enough space that we can all stay dry from the rain if we all stand up. And they're all standing like that all night. And in the middle of the night, they feel the push. And the fourth one shows up. You know who the fourth one was? Krishna. He was so touched by their heart, their open-heartedness, that he wanted to squeeze in with them. So this is Vrijbasi spirit. That we are kind to each other. That's what Krishna wants. That we go to the spiritual world, we don't become jealous. Only one allowed to become jealous there maybe is Radharani's husband. He's jealous of Krishna. He thinks, oh, he's the chief son. He has so many more cows, so much more jewelry. But he's also expansion of Krishna, only for Leela. But otherwise, others aren't jealous of Krishna, not like we get jealous in the material world. In a sense, Abhimanyu was admiring Krishna in a twisted way. But the Vrijbasis, Krishna doesn't want someone to enter into Braj and become envious of Nanda Maharaj, become envious of other devotees. So that's why this world exists. We give up those qualities, we can come to Krishna, to Braj. It's very simple. You don't want to be around somebody who's envious of you. Maybe you have some position in the temple. You get to wash the deity's plates, so you get the maha, right? So somebody's thinking, oh, he gets all the maha. Ooh. Of course, if he's a smart devotee, he learns to steal it. But So we shouldn't be envious of anyone. Everyone suffers or enjoys according to their karma. And ultimately, if you are separate from Krishna, you're unhappy. In the West, they write many beautiful songs, love songs. And some of them, you listen to them as a bhakti and you think, oh, this song could have been for Krishna. This song could have been written by Radharani. Because the intrinsic nature of the soul is to express love. And you see it in the songs of the Vaishnav, like Mirabai. So one of the songs is Everybody Has a Hungry Heart. It's an English song. Because it's written by somebody who had some experience. I try to love so many women. I've loved them, but still something is missing. And for them, something was missing. So everybody has a hungry heart. Even if you're married, and have a nice wife, a nice husband, nice children, something is missing. That's why householders come here in the day to hear also. Because something is missing. We are looking, we got engineers here. We have some engineers. We got an engineer there. So when you study engineering or science, there's a Greek prefix, mega, right? You can say, when they're talking about atomic weapons, they say megatons. It means so many tons of dynamite make one megaton. So this mega is a significant for a great amount. So we are looking for that mega dose of love. We experience love between each other as friends, as husband and wife. But we want the mega dose. And that mega dose is found in Krishna, in the source. Because look, anything beautiful you find in the world comes from Krishna. So if you like the art, imagine what the artist is like. So, it's not a difficult thing to want to develop Krishna consciousness. We have to expose ourselves to the beauty of God, to the fun aspect of God. Krishna is always making nice arrangements for his devotees. And so is Radha. There was some story like that, I don't remember it fully, that Radha was supposed to meet Krishna. And from a distance, she can see Krishna coming. But then he met another gopi. And Krishna spent time with that gopi just talking to her. So Radharani thought, oh, Krishna must like this girl more than he likes me. So then she disappeared. So Krishna came to the spot where he was supposed to meet Radha. And what did Radha do? Radha covered herself. And she found that gopi. And she pulled that gopi and brought her to Krishna. And then she ran away. But Krishna can see little tears coming out of her eyes, even though she covered herself. And then, because her idea is she wanted Krishna to be happy, and she thought, well, Krishna will be much happier with this other gopi than me. So this was her love for Krishna, her great love. And Krishna, when he understood what had happened, then he went looking for Radharani. So this is the nature of these beautiful, delicate dealings of love that you find in the spiritual world. What lady is going to give up her husband for her best friend? Nah, I don't think so. Or what man is going to give up his wife for his best friend? Nah. Not going to happen. So there's another story of, I think it was Vrinda Devi. See, I don't remember so many things. Over so many years you hear so many things. And there was one devotee, I think it was Vrinda, who was always making nice arrangements for Radharani and Krishna to be together. So Radharani's thinking, oh, I have to do something nice for this devotee. So she got together with the other gopis and they made a flower altar. And they brought Vrinda Devi, I think it was Vrinda Devi, this gopi, and sat her down on the altar. And then they go into the bushes and they pull Krishna out. And they sit Krishna down next to this gopi. And Radharani makes arrangement for Krishna to marry this gopi. So this is how loving Radha is to the other devotees. Of course, Radha is the first love of Krishna. But she is not jealous. Little jealous, only for Leela. But not to destroy another bhakta. So she made that nice arrangement. So this is the consciousness of, in the nature of the love that exists in the spiritual world. Here, if you don't love me, I don't like you. If you don't please my senses, divorce. There, the opposite. So, this is what we want. We're just, another song was, a line from a song was, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong faces. This could be a mantra of the material world also. Right? And then there's another very beautiful song by a man who died. He wrote it for his wife. And the line was, you fill up my senses like night in a forest. So that's a song that could be sung to Krishna. So all these love songs are really meant for the divine. But because we need to express love and the availability of other bodies and souls are here, we express it on this plane. But really, we want that mega dose of love, and that's Krishna. And Prabhupada was so kind that he brought us Krishna. And he's still bringing you Krishna. You have that connection to Prabhupada. It's not about initiation. It's about following. Initiation means beginning. And the gopis, they do not have a wedding certificate. The ladies in Dwarka, they have a marriage ceremony. But the gopis have no wedding certificate. So, if this was a game, who wins? The one who loves the most, that's the winner. Not your title, not your money, not how many followers you have. It's how much love you have for Krishna and the other devotees, and especially the pure devotee. So Prabhupada is not visible, but he is watching. He is there for you. He is present in his books. He always said the vani is more important than the personal presence. He had maybe 15 days personal association with his Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada is there for you all. You open the Bhagavatam and he's there. And all these things I spoke about, they're all true. Nobody's happy in the material world. The Maya makes you think, oh, if I was a householder, the Brahmachari is thinking, if I was a householder, I would enjoy a little bit like Krishna and Radha. But no, the householder is thinking, I work like a dog all day to bring money, and I'm so tired I don't even have the strength to enjoy. So one is envying the other. He's thinking, oh, I wish I was a Brahmachari. I'd be more carefree. And the Brahmachari is thinking, oh, maybe I could enjoy more. So they're always like that, the nature of the material world. But nobody's enjoying fully. Anyway, now it's time for you to experience Krishna in his yummy incarnation. So time for you to take prasadam. So sorry I talked so long. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me remember Prabhupada. And whatever you hear, you share with others. And remember, what is the mantra? What is the siddhanta? Can you say out loud? What does Prabhupada want more than anything else? There you go. Okay, thank you, Jeeves.